Oh, spry and chipper. I'm going to get started this morning. We'll turn over to Genesis 1. In Genesis 1, down in verse 11, I'm going to have to get me a stronger pair of glasses. I see that. Verse 11 in Genesis 1, it says, "Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so." And then on down in verse 24, it says, "Then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle, creeping thing, and the beast of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so." If we turn over a page, or in mine it's one page, to Genesis 2 and verse 8, it says, "The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed." So we see that God was a farmer before our ancestors were even around. But he created Adam and put him in this garden that he had planted. But it wasn't just sitting around eating olives and grapes with his feet soaking in the creek. Instead, he had responsibility over the cattle, birds, fish, and to tend and keep the land. God probably spent a lot of time showing and instructing Adam in the proper ways and methods of keeping the garden healthy and productive. God had created the first flesh and blood farmer. And farming's not always an easy job. There's more to it than just throwing a seed out on the ground and hoping it grows. You know, in the fall, you plant your seeds, such as grains and greens, to be harvested in the spring. Then in the wintertime, you're busy feeding and caring for your flocks and herds, and begin making plans of what seed to use and what seeds you don't want to use for your spring plantings. You reflect back on past mistakes, so you won't make the same mistakes again, so we can have a more productive crop. In the spring, you start to prepare your ground, get it all worked up nice and soft. Then you plant your seeds. Make sure it has all the right nutrients and sufficient water that the seeds are going to need to sprout and grow into healthy, strong rooted plants. After the seeds begin to sprout out of the ground, the first thing you'll notice is weeds begin to grow in and amongst the plants. So we pull out the old tiller and hoe and go to work removing the weeds. But it's not a one-time thing. As soon as you turn your back, they come right back up. So if you let your guard down, they'll take over. Before you know it, they've taken over your plant. They rob the ground of the nutrients, and your plants wither and die. But with a lot of hard work and nurturing, your plants will grow strong and healthy and produce an abundant harvest. You know, our spiritual life is kind of like growing a garden. First, that seed is planted by God. Maybe you come to see what day to keep the Sabbath, or that you need to keep the holy days, whatever it may have been. So you start to cultivate, to prepare your mind for more understanding. You begin to look into the Bible, study, research, and begin to see more and more of God's truth. The seeds begin to grow as you put those things you've learned into practice. Then it baptizes baptism. You're given the right water and nutrients through God's Word, the Bible, and a portion of His Holy Spirit. and by prayer and fasting and keeping God's word, that spirit will help us grow and produce good fruits. I want to turn over to Matthew 7. Matthew 7 and down in verse 20. It tells us, therefore, by their fruits you will know them. In 2 Peter chapter 1. Read verse 3 through 11. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So these qualities that it talks about here have to be prevalent in our life. God says that's how we're known. The opposite of this would be the bitter fruits. You ever tasted a half-ripe persimmon? You get a mouthful of bitterness, turns your mouth plumb inside out. Or pick a nice tomato out of your garden, bite into it, but it has a big old rotten place right in the middle of it. Most time you can take that tomato, and if you look real close, you can see where a little worm has gotten in there and started that tomato to rotten from the inside out. But you never would have noticed it unless you picked that tomato up and looked at it close. When the wrong kind of fruit starts showing up in our life, we have to be able to recognize it and weed it out. By using God's Holy Spirit, it helps us to identify when our fruits are becoming rotten and bitter. And those weeds, they can suck all the nutrients out of our life and cause us to start to wither and die. We have to keep those things out of our lives so we can grow healthy and strong and stay strongly rooted in the faith and God's way of life. But you have to really use those spiritual nutrients that God has given you to grow. Just like farming or gardening, it's a lifelong commitment. Like the old adage, use it or lose it. My mom used to always say, it's the long haul that can wear you down and get you. You have to use God's Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, on a daily basis to keep growing and learning. You know, back when I was in school, I really took an interest in some subjects like agriculture and history. And I still remember those things. because I was interested and I still use it. But take algebra. Even though I passed that class, after I got out of school, I never used it. Now the only thing I remember out of algebra class is a joke our teacher, Mr. Ray Van Meter, told us that pi is not square, pi is a ring. I'm sure you all have heard that one too. But that just goes to show you, if you don't use something, it goes away. So how do we actually learn something and retain it? By doing it with your own hands over and over. Somebody can stand, tell you how to do things for hours and hours. Just like Mr. Herbert Armstrong did for all those years. But what did he tell us toward the end of his life? He told us, he said, "Brethren, I'm afraid most of you just don't get it. So unless you actually take hold of it and prove it for yourself that it actually works and is true and take a real interest in it to do it to the best of your ability, then it's just going in there and bouncing around for a little while and then it's gone." When me and Trisha were young, it was a lot easier to work in the garden. We spent hours hoeing, weeding it. It wasn't so hard to put our backs in it. But now that we're older, putting your back in it, it ain't as easy as it used to be. Your old back aches quite a bit. Hands stiff and sore. It makes it harder to pull them weeds. Every year, we're always saying, we're not even going to put out a garden next year. But when next year comes, we often put out more than the year before. And when those fruits and vegetables start coming in, we're always glad we did. Turn over to Galatians. Back to Galatians 6. Galatians 6, down in verse 9, read 9 and 10, it says, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." So as we approach the spring holy days and prepare for that future harvest, we have to stay diligent in well-doing. Keep your hoes sharp. Look for those hidden weeds. Water with the Holy Spirit. So at the return of Jesus Christ, His garden will be ready for the harvest.